I want to speak on the idea of is Christmas in cardiac arrest? And by cardiac arrest, I mean, is the theme and the spirit of Christmas in your life dying, or is it about to die? And the message here, my sermon outline, it looks a little bit better on paper than it really does when I try to express myself. So I want to express myself this morning, beginning this way, that I know in our church family here, and I know in people of faith in general, not just in the Seventh-day Adventist church, but there are people of faith who, at this time of the year, they, because of religious convictions, choose not to put up a Christmas tree. They choose not to exchange presents. They have the information about the Babylonian influence of December 25th being the birthday of Tammuz, understanding that it's not the exact birthday of Christ. We don't know the exact number of the wise men that came, and other reasons. There are good people who choose not to celebrate Christmas the way other people choose to celebrate Christmas. And aren't you glad that our church is big enough to embrace people who have some different ideas? And you may be one of those persons who would rather not have blinking lights on a tree in your living room. And that's okay. But my message for the day, for today, is that there are tremendous benefits to re-examining and to studying the birth of Christ and what the birth of Christ represented for humanity. I'm really trying to say to you today that as a person of faith, if we can move past the commercialization of Christmas, there are great benefits that will bless your heart, they will benefit your family. And I'm asking you, don't throw away all the blessings and the study and the wondrous story of Christ coming to the earth because of personal convictions that you may have. I want to communicate that again. I believe, and God is sharing this with me to share with you, that this Christmas season today can hold wondrous benefits to you spiritually if you can move past the commercialization of Christmas. We're all on the same page, aren't we? Now, go back with me to Luke chapter 2. Our scripture reading for this day, it emphasizes the birth of Christ. And it says in verse 15, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds spoke one to another. And they said, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" This is the Bethlehem story, that God chose Bethlehem. He chose that particular city. He chose Mary, that particular young lady. And God chose Joseph. And God chose the shepherds. And God chose the very angels that would come and hover in the sky and give them that message that today unto you and the whole world is born a Savior. All of that did not just happen. God chose, God selected. And today God has chosen you. You've already heard the story. I look out in this congregation and I know the background of almost everybody here, except maybe two or three people. And I'm not going to point you out. But I'm glad you're here today. And if you stay with me long enough, I'd like to get your story. Every one of you has a story. But our story this time of the year is that God has chosen me to hear the story about Christ. And God has chosen me to echo that story. God has chosen me to tell that story. And you tell the story by the way you live, not by a sermon. Although some of us have been chosen to give a sermon. God chose me when He put me in ministry. And I've not always been able to do my job, but I'm thankful for God's faith in me. But as it happened a long time ago on the hills of Bethlehem, have you ever thought to yourself why it was that God chose those particular shepherds at that particular time and in that particular place? It was because they would never be gathered together just like that again. I think I've shared with you that I've had the privilege of standing and looking at the very place where tradition says these shepherds had their campfires burning and their sheep were out in the pasture. The very place that tradition says they were when that angelic choir positioned themselves in the sky. But God chose those men and he gave them the message because they were searching, they were studying, and they were begging God. Now, I know a little bit about what it's like to beg God and to beg God for a miracle. Some of you here do too. And I'll just lay it all out on the table today as best I can. Gail and Donna are begging God for a miracle. Chuck is begging God for a miracle. We go all the way around the room. You're begging God for a miracle to stay off of the tobacco. Susan's begging God to bless her family. They have some very distinct needs right now. All around this family. Donna, you mentioned one. Don over here. Not Don, Dawn. And what about August this morning? And what about those kids? And what about Coco if she's able to think today? Begging God for a miracle. God, in all the vastness of space, don't forget me. We want to see you. We want to see you in a miracle of healing. That's what this is mostly about today. But back then, with those particular shepherds, with what materials they had and what resources were at their use, they were talking about the Messiah that was coming. They were not extremely educated, but they had a great thirst and a desire to see God. They wanted to know about this Savior, this Lord, this Messiah. This wasn't the first time these shepherds had been praying and begging God, somehow, Lord, let us have information. If in all the vastness of your creation you can smile upon us, God, we will appreciate it. We want to see Jesus. Now, they didn't have his name at that time, but you get what I'm saying, don't you? The whole spirit of a Savior coming and peace coming to mankind, that was on their mind. We kind of lump all that together today with that term Christmas. With those shepherds out there in the field, this time of the year, this season, that theology of the Christ coming, that was not dying. It was not in a cardiac arrest position. It was alive and well and strong and growing. And looking down from the throne room of the universe, as God had already predicated this, nothing takes God by surprise. He at that particular time said to that group of angels, he says, "Let's go." I remember standing right here and trying to figure out how God chose those particular angels to go there. All the angels of heaven couldn't go. Well, the whole earth probably would have been surrounded by angels. But somehow in divine providence, someone was assigned, or maybe God himself did it. Maybe Jesus did it. Somebody said, "You're going to go, and you can go, and you." Probably hands all over heaven went up, and the angel said, "I want to go. I want to go." And to those shepherds out there in the field praying and on their knees, maybe crying, maybe repenting of sins, so suddenly the sky was ablaze with the glory of those angels, and the words came, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now listen to me. "Which is Christ the Lord." It's born to you. Now that's personalizing it for sure. It was for all of humanity. But those shepherds as disciples of Christ could grab hold of that. You know, sometimes we use the word pre-Adventist. Well, these were pre-disciples. They were about to get a lesson from the great Almighty God. When you pray and you empty your mind and you grab hold of what God sends your way, the whole theme of this salvation story becomes an exhaustless theme. You can never learn it all. And these shepherds were just into their journey just a short while. And suddenly the explosiveness of God Almighty shines a light upon where they are. And they are given the news they cannot deny, that unto you it's happening today. If you go looking for it, you will find it. Those men, as they saw the angels, they saw the sky lit up, they saw the pasture where they were in lit up, they saw the sheep still. Don't you know nature itself was listening here? They were convinced. They were settled. They were assured that what was happening was truthful. Now, when you get that way, you don't really have to have a pastor or anybody else urge you to share your faith. It's good to be in a seminar and learn some of the ideas and techniques that are working as you share your faith. We should be doing that. But no one but God Himself can plant within you a desire to share your testimony of what God has done for you. That's something that you cannot buy, you cannot purchase, you cannot attain it. It's something that God gives you. I just like to think of it as this measure of faith. Here in this story, it has two halves. And if you can move a little bit past the Christmas tree and the convictions that you might have for it or against it, God has tremendous benefits for you. Listen to me. Think of it. God Himself leaving heaven, coming to the earth, and I'm careful, but I say becoming man. Divinity blending with humanity. Of all the thousands of years that had gone on before, when they had been under the old sacrificial system of animal blood and killing animals, and of all the daily sacrifices in the temple, that had all pointed forward to this great event of when God Himself would become the real Lamb of God. It's all wrapped up together. Jesus leaving heaven, coming to the earth, and and blending himself with humanity. That's the side of the story that belongs to God. The second half of the story belongs to us. Now, somewhere back there in time, Jesus chose to come to the earth. He said, those people that are going to be born are worth it. I'm going to do this. So Jesus left the throne room of the universe, comes to the earth, becomes a child, grows up as a man, becomes the real Lamb of God. We find ourselves now, a couple of thousand years later, and our response is very similar to him, except it's got some opposite things to think about. We choose right now, today, whether or not that the Christmas story is truthful. We have to decide whether God has selected me, and we have to choose whether or not we are going to live for God as God has selected us. That's a choice. So, on this half of the story, Jesus chose to come to the earth to live a holy life. We, on the other hand, are choosing to live for Him and live a holy life. Not that we can stay on earth, but that we can go to heaven. These are the two halves of this story. The one half now is Jesus leaving heaven, coming to the earth, being connected with humanity, and dying. The second half of the story is that we embrace Christ. And I'm careful here, but there is some theology. You know, we embrace Him. We want Him in us. Be careful how far you push this. But our body is a temple of God. He that is within us or you is greater than Satan that is without. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, Christ came, blended His life with humanity, so that we in humanity might blend our lives with divinity. Does that make any sense? And instead of being on the earth, as Jesus came to the earth, we have the wonderful joy of connecting our lives with God's life so that we can leave here and go to where He now is. So there's two halves of this whole story. When Jesus was born, the world was in bad shape. But I cannot see how it would be in any worse shape than our world today. All of the signs of Christ's coming given in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are being amplified today. You know this. You listen to 3ABN and other things that affirm in your mind that the nearness of Christ's coming, it's getting closer and closer every day. What if this could be the last December that we celebrated together? What if the meetings that are coming up in February were the very last time that we had to invite people to come and listen in a revival seminar so they can give their lives to Christ? Would it change us during this Christmas season at all if we knew that to be the truth? Now, it may turn out that way, either through death or... I just know that when the end time events begin to take place, they can take place at a very fast pace. They will happen much more quickly than we think. And we may not have all the ABCD figured out exactly right anyway. We think we do. But would it not change our ministry and our desire to witness if we knew this was the last time? What if that were to happen? Yes, it would. There was a man, his name was Eugene Land. He was asked to speak to a group of sixth graders in a school in East Harlem, New York. He was 59 kids in that school, and as I recall what I read, the school had one of the highest dropout rates in the country. He prayed, God, what can I say to this group of middle school students that will make a difference in their lives? And as he spoke to those kids who were destined to drop out of school, he said, I tell you what, I will make a deal with you. If you will stay in school, I will help pay for all of your college tuition. 59 kids. You've heard the story, haven't you? Almost all of that group of kids that he spoke to that day in the sixth grade went on to graduate. They broke all the odds of the public school system. And as they go back and look at the story and look at the kids, the consensus is that he stood before them and he said, you are valuable and you have a life that's worth saving. And I'm going to invest in you. I will help pay your tuition. Jesus came to the earth was in bad shape. But he says, humanity's worth it. I love that group of God's creation. Even though they do stupid things, I love them, I want to be with them. He says, what if they were to begin to love each other like I love. What if they could be equipped to give sacrificially like I give? That's what God calls of us as a church. We sing this song. If we don't mean it, then we're lying and we're counterfeit, and we should change our song. Song says, make me like you, Lord. That's what we put on the screen, and we sing, and I pray each Sabbath that I'm here after that song. But Jesus says, what if my people who are called by my name would pray and seek my face? What if my people during this Christmas season in December of 2017 would open their hearts and minds and ask me to let them see me as their Savior? What if they would do that? He says, I would come. I would send whatever measure that I have, whatever measure that I can send in order to get my message across. Even if he has to empty heaven of the angels in order to do it. Hey, I hope you have a good month of December. I hope as you spend it with family and friends and you eat good food and you listen to the Christmas carols. Don't you like the Christmas music? Just a wonderful time of the year to think about what God's done for us and to also respond and say, God, this is me. I want to respond this way. If you can do that, you can keep the spirit of Christmas out of dying. I just put the label on it, cardiac arrest. But you can keep it going strong in your life and in the life of your family, the life of those you love, and the lives of this county. I want Jesus to come soon, don't you? I want the second half of this whole story to take place. Let's go on home. May God bless you as we aim that direction.